Well, John, I hardly know where to begin, typically these conversations begin with sort of meditations on influence. I'm sure you've been asked this before. In fact, I know you have. And one of the things that you said in response to that kind of question, which really interested me, was that your influences were literary more than musical.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Joan Didion, for example, Faulkner, and even the great Roman writer Seneca. You mentioned his plays as influences. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, part of this is because I'm not a good musician.
I mean,
no, that is true. I mean, it's true. I have my thing that I do, and I think, and, you know, and I don't think anybody else can quite do what it is that I do. So I don't badmouth it in that sense.
Right.
But I'm not, but I'm no one's guitarist. I can't, you know, I can. If I played a scale for you, you would laugh a good long laugh. My scales, they have poor. It's just not good, you know, and I keep buying stuff, you know, to try to teach myself scales. I have a book called The Guitar Grimoire, and it has all the voice notes and all that, you know, and I would love to be a good guitarist, but I'm not. I was a good pianist very briefly in my childhood, but one of the first ways that I established autonomy was to say I'm not going to my piano lessons anymore. And, you know, which I really regret, but at the same time, who knows if I would become a good songwriter if I'd actually become a good musician. So, but anyway, so my relation to music became very, very based on content or on sheen, which is a term, or shimmer, from Baudelaire. Somebody else quoted Baudelaire about the shimmer of evil, about stuff has a sort of a, you know, a light that comes off of it. And so my influences aren't, it's not like I write songs like Joan Didion, or heaven forbid, like William Faulkner, you know, I'm not a writer. Well, I mean, it's like, I'm not as good as them, you know, but I grew up in California, the energy that I get from them, you know, the vibe, the real physical, what you come away with from a book for me is never a point or a moral, you know, it's a tone. It's the feeling you get after you go out dancing all night, and you come home and you can't really say, because you've been drinking, you know, you can't say what songs they played, right, as you're walking home. But you know how you feel, right? That feeling, what I took from those writers, that's what I think is the main thing that I try and do when I write songs.
I remember thinking once, as I was listening to the Coroner's Gambit, and actually I think there is a line in there like, play it as it lays, or something like that.
Right, I figured I'd just play it like it lays.
Yeah, I think I'll play it like it lays. This wonderful little quotation and kind of homage to Didion.
I wrote that line in a grain elevator.
You did?
Yes.
Tell me about that. What were you doing in a grain elevator?
I don't know.
See, that's the difference between a musician and a writer.
No, I mean, I lived in Colo, Iowa, which was, as I always like to say, a town of 775 people when we lived there, and 773 now. And it was where my wife and I lived after she graduated from college, and we are slow to decide things, and so we sometimes wind up backing into situations. And we waited until the last couple weeks where our lease was up on the place in Grinnell to figure out where we were going to go. And then we took the first place we could find. And it was this little, and the one thing was she wanted a freestanding house, not an apartment. We didn't have any money, so we wound up with a place that cost $275 a month in Colo, right? At the train tracks, and at the crossing. If you listen to that Out in the Corner's Gambit, there's a song, Insurance Fraud Number 2,
oh, yeah,
where you hear a sound effect. Sounds like a train. It's a train. It's two trains, because they came both ways. And most of the songs that the trains ruined, I discarded, but I was like, nah, you know, that's all right for that song. So but anyway, when I was living in Colo, I didn't have really any prospects, and I was working part-time in psychiatric nursing, but I did, you know, there was a grain elevator down the street, and I saw when I was shopping one day that they wanted harvest help, and I thought, well, that'd be an experience, that'd be something to do. That's something to do. That's 12 hours a day of back-breaking work, not meant for liberal arts majors. But I did it. I worked from August through December, and I'm proud that I did. You know, that it was rough, and they all knew I was the cutout for it. But yeah, I mean, when I would get a minute, I would sit there and scribble ideas on a notepad in the north or the west elevator.
So you were writing songs even then?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, this was. I mean, that was. I already had a few albums out at that point.
And were you still recording your songs into a Panasonic boombox at that point?
It's about half and half at that point. I had bought the Marantz PMD 222, which is a professional cassette recorder. It cost $200. And it was a bit of money for us at the time. I remember making a decision, looking at the catalog for that, and thinking, you know, well, that's an investment, you know. But I bought that because my boombox is it's old, and it's temperamental, and sometimes it stops working. It stopped permanently now, but back then it would go months at a time, where there'd be this noise that it's got two decks, and one would start to make this noise that you couldn't use. I don't mind the wheel grind noise, but this was the sound of something going click, 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 and you couldn't make it work. So most of the Corner's Gambit is on this more professional deck. But I changed the settings on it so that it wouldn't do what it's supposed to do and correct and even them out. Right? Instead, I like it to get louder and more distorted.
Well, as I said during my introduction, one of the things I love about your music is the beauty of the writing in it.